last week. If you missed the message, you want to listen to it, you can always go on iTunes, or you can go on our website and listen to it for free. But it's an act of love and surrender to God. And so it's so important that we continually learn to do this in an unashamed way.
Come on.
I mean, so many times, you know, you get into church and it's like, well, we do lift our hands, obviously, in worship. And I think every church should. I mean, it's scriptural, and it's a way to reach out to Him and just say, God, I love you. And let's face it, you know, often when you lift up your hands, it is kind of it's a sign of surrender often.
And victory.
And victory, yeah. Yes. I mean, when you're rooting for your favorite sports team, what do you do whenever they make a goal or whatever? Right? So it's like, why shouldn't we do that to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Amen.
Right.
So that was last week's message. Lift your hands when you come to worship. This week, we want to talk from a passage in Matthew chapter 2. It describes the story of how the Magi or the wise men came. They followed the star a long distance and to see Jesus. You know, to bring him gifts is really what we know the three wise men did. They brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so they brought gifts. They didn't come to get something. When they came to worship Jesus, they actually brought him gifts.
Amen.
And so let's read from Matthew chapter 2, verses, we're going to read 1 to 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." Mm-hmm. And after they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. In verse 10, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Verse 11, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. And so the wise men, they asked, you know, in verse 2, "Where's the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come." They've come to what?
Worship
him. You know, the reason that they were searching for Jesus, looking for Jesus, was to worship him and bring him gifts, not really to get something. And if you fast forward, you think about it, fast forward 2,000 years, here we are. Christmas has become a big season of hyped up merchandising.
Right.
You know, for a whole lot of buying and selling. I mean, there's a lot of gift giving going on, but it's not to Jesus, let's just say, right? I mean, businesses, this is like their biggest time of the year. If they make it at Christmas time, then they're in the black, you know, so they're just looking for they're looking truly for the bottom line to make it through, to make all their money. And people are exchanging a lot of gifts back and forth, some of them pretty darn expensive. You know, one year we did a message on that. What are the top 10? Google that sometime. What are the top 10 most expensive gifts that's the rich and famous exchange? You'd be shocked. $1 million dog collars and crazy things like that. But, but I mean, there's a lot of gift giving going on, but it's mostly just back and forth between people, mostly satisfying ourselves with what we're giving. And like I said, buying things that are pretty expensive, willing to get into credit card debt even over it. I mean, some of these credit cards are nutty in what their percentages are, 20%+. And I just Googled this morning about people are still paying their credit card debt from last year's Christmas buying this year. A lot of them. They said it's an alarming amount of people.
24%.
Yeah. Will go into debt and still not pay it off. So, you know, I mean, when you realize when you buy something with a credit card and you don't pay it off for a year, like that great sale that you thought you were getting.
Yeah.
It's like no longer. You paid like three or four times the amount of whatever that item was worth by the time you actually pay it off by your credit card. And so it's not really much of a sale at all. But, I mean, if you really want to make a real and lasting purchase, I mean, you talked about our chairs.
Yes.
You know, this Christmas season, sponsoring and buying a chair for our new building. We bought 160 chairs. And, you know, really, everybody who sits in a chair is a life changed by the power of the gospel and, you know, by the power of Jesus Christ. And so sponsoring buying a chair for yourself and your family and maybe a friend that you want to invite to hear the gospel, be blessed.
Yes.
To understand their purpose in life. I mean, for $200, you could, for $40, we're the chairs basically equal out to be about $40 a chair when you add in shipping and all the rest of the stuff that they do. But for $200, you know, you could buy five chairs, pray over them, asking God, God, I just pray that as I sit in my chair, that you would bless me, you know, with the knowledge of you and your purpose and meaning in my life, and bless the person next to me that I don't even know that's going to come in and sit on this chair, or a family member. I mean, sponsoring a chair isn't just putting money towards nothing. To me, it's actually a way to give back to Jesus. It's like, Jesus, I'm going to do this because it's a life change. It's for the reason for the season. I mean, and yeah, you might have to give up a purchase of your own, a big gadget you're wanting to buy. You know, maybe you're wanting to buy some big screen TV or whatever it is that might cost you your $200 or whatever it is that you can give. But I think that sacrifice, that sacrificial offering to God is very meaningful.
Yes.
Especially at this time of year, because the real reason for the season is to celebrate the birth of Christ and what he's done for us in our lives and everything that he means to us. It is not just our time of, and we all have fun exchanging gifts, but it's celebrating what he's done for us and why he came to the earth. You know, born of a virgin, born in a humble stable. I think about the words to that song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, you know, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give us second birth. That's really what we are joyful about in this season. And, you know, because why? Well, without a Savior, where would we be? Where would you be?
Jeez.
What's the alternative if you don't know Christ? You die in your sin.
Jeez.
And you spend eternity suffering in hell. This is what Scripture says. So, I mean, when you think about what's at stake and what's really where our money is really worth it to go to put towards you and why we really should be joyful, the most joyful people really on the earth. I mean, we have hope. We have hope not only in this life, because our hope in this life is that I don't have to just go on a merry-go-round like on a treadmill like most people are, just buying and selling and gaining and all the things that we, you know, push and strive for. We can live with meaning and purpose knowing that when I reach the end of this life, I have eternal life. And all that that is, we don't even understand all the glories of what that is going to be for us to come. But we do have hope, not only in this life, but in the life to come. And that's why we celebrate, and that's really why we want to give during this season, so that other people can know and have that same hope.
Yeah, you know, it's we go back to the story here, and the wise men, they came, and they were coming to seek the King of Kings, the new King of Israel, and they went to the Herod, the king of that was dominating that area at the time, and they said, "Where is he who's born King of the Jews?" And of course, Herod, you know, he being an insecure leader, he just started to panic. He gets panicky. He starts worrying about his own kingdom. Oh, no, another king? What's going on here? And, you know, Herod was an evil king. If you read the Bible, this guy was not nice. And so what he tells, he lies to the wise men. He goes, "Oh, go find the king. Go find him. Go find him. Then come back to me and tell me where he is, so I can go worship him too." But the truth is that he wanted to find out where he was so he can go and kill him. And so he would then think that his kingdom was more secure. And so we've got to understand, you know, we read this scripture here that wise men traveled. They traveled from afar. Do you know they traveled from what, Persia, which was now modern-day Iran, 900 miles. Everybody say 900 miles.
900 miles.
Yeah, we just read smooth right past that when we read it, you know, 900 miles. And the truth is...
On a camel.
That's like you and I hopping on the back of a camel and going past Jacksonville, Florida. That's not a happy time. Come on. Yeah. 900 miles. No, thank you. Obviously, they were divinely purposeful in their travels.
Yeah.
Because they knew out of all the ancient writings, they were coming to see the promised Savior of the world. They knew that the Messiah was coming, the one who would pay the price for the penalty of their sin so that they could be freed. You know, this is great. Look at verse 10 again. Can we put that up? Look at this. It says, when they saw the star, what does it say? They were overjoyed. Now, we can run right past that, too. When they saw the star, we were overjoyed. You know why we're hurrying up to read the Christmas story so we can open the presents.
Or read it religiously.
Yeah.
When they saw the star, they were overjoyed.
Anybody been to a church like that? I grew up in a church like that. No, they were overjoyed. They were overjoyed. And it wasn't just because they could get off their camels. Yeah. They were overjoyed because now they know their sins could be forgiven. And what they studied out and found out and by the Spirit of God revealed to them, they knew it was true. They were overjoyed, overjoyed. They were thrilled. They were ecstatic. Kind of like this guy.
I got the joy.
You know, come on one more time.
Maybe it's too hard.
Come on, work.
Back it up.
Oh my gosh. How many people, when they were born again, they could feel that lift right off of them, all that sin and all the crud that was in their life? Yeah, you know, they were. I mean, because that's what the Greek word means. It not just overjoyed. They were ecstatic. They were high-fiving. Yeah. They were jumping for joy. They were beside themselves because they found the Savior of the world. It's pretty awesome. But here's the problem today. Some Christians today are underjoyed.
Yeah, they're not overjoyed, they're underjoyed. That's a good point. Yeah. And really, we should be the most overjoyed people.
Truth.
Again, why would they be so happy? Well, because they found the one that they had heard of, a Savior who would come and save the world from the penalty of their sin, and it was meaningful to them. This is why I think we need to meditate on what exactly, how have we been saved from? It makes us happy, you know, because it makes no sense to me to think about the truth that a holy God who was perfect, righteous in all his ways, you know, would love us so much that even when we were dead in our sin, we did not deserve it.
Come on. Right.
He did something so great and wonderful for us. He freely forgives us of our sin. And then he gives us on top of it grace. He said, I'm going to give you more than what you deserve. You deserve mercy, or I'll give you mercy, but then I'm going to give you grace.
Amen. Amen.
That's just like going over the top. He's saying, I'm going to give you eternal life. I'm going to give you my righteousness. I'm not just going to forgive you. I'm going to give you a place with me, seated with me. Yeah. It's pretty awesome when you think that Jesus is not ashamed to call us his brethren. It's that we have such a high calling and a privilege with God. So we don't have to spend all eternity you know, in a dark place in hell, we get to spend eternity with him and the ages to come and the beauty of all that is. So, I mean, salvation is like a nesting box. You know what a nesting box is? It's like one big box. You open the lid and then there's another box in there, and you open up that and you take that. Oh, there's another box in there. And so salvation is like that. It's like it's not just, it's salvation, the gift of salvation, yes. But inside is like, oh, this box says that I have purpose and meaning to my life. And, oh, this box says I have the Holy Spirit's power working in me to lead me and guide me. And, oh, you know, this box says he could give me beauty for ashes in my life. And I keep opening up these boxes. And it's like, man, this is a big gift. With salvation comes healing and restoration in our lives. Jesus said, I came to give you abundant life.
Yes.
That the thief comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. But he came to give us abundant life. So it's like he's saying, come, dine at my table. Come on. You know, I've set the table before you. Come and dine with me. Which shouldn't put a smile on our face, right?
Come on.
Be like, wow, this is a pretty good deal. But, I mean, I don't know why some Christians, like, just through ignorance, and I think a lot of it is through ignorance, because if you grew up hearing about God, you know, in a religious way, and God is going to, like, you know, strike you down, and then you're afraid of him, and you're everything just becomes stiff and stoic. But when you understand, you know, the love of God and what he's done for us, it should put a smile on our face, make us happy people.
Come on.
But I don't know why people prefer, even as Christians, I mean, if they're ignorant, it's one thing, but once you know these things, you can just, well, I don't care, I'm having a bad day, and I'm just going to have a bad day, right? People can just get upset about. And we all can. We could get upset about everything, nitpick about everything, have a critical heart,
anything,
you know, just
everything. Yep.
Yeah. And we have to really learn to put on a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness is what we have to do. I mean, you have to put it on. And nobody but yourself can really do that.
Correct.
You know, like if you're standing there like, well, I'm cold. And somebody say, well, put on that coat over there. That's your coat. Put it on. And you go over there and put it on. And I feel different. I'm warmer now. Right? So it's like, well, I'm mad. I mean, liken it to the same thing. Well, I'm mad. I'm having a bummed out day. Nothing goes right for me. And blah, blah, blah. And all the negative. And how are you going to change that attitude? Well, you know, I'm going to put on a garment of praise.
Yes.
It's just like you had on purpose. Go over there and get that coat and put it on if you want to get warm. Well, I got to put on a garment of praise, right? And then lift your hands. It's like last week's message. God, you know what? I'm just going to remember and remind myself of what you've done for me in my life.
Yes.
You love me with an everlasting love. You know, you've given my life meaning and purpose. You've blessed me with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
And now that's good news.
And as we go on with that garment of praise, our mood changes. All of a sudden, you know, you're thinking, you know what? It's not so bad. Life isn't that bad, you know. Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father still. He's on the throne. He's hearing and answering my prayers.
Oh, my gosh. But really, what's the worst could happen? You die and go to heaven?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're happy, you let your face know it.
Yeah. And if you're happy and you know it, and clap your hands and worship God and write and
you know,
all those
I mean, really, because we should be, you know, don't read the Bible religiously. Read the Bible as though it is reality when you find these things out. Greater is he who's in you. You know, he says he's working all things out for good for those who loved him and are called according to his purpose. I don't care how bad the day's gotten. Listen, your future is good.
Yeah.
Your future is good. Everybody notice that how your circumstances change?
Yeah.
You're still not back in those old circumstances. Your circumstances change. You're indwelled by the power of the living God. Light is in you. You are a child of light. You're a child of the King. Your inheritance is outrageous.
Amen.
Dang.
Preach yourself happy.
Make yourself happy. The Bible says that you've been raised up and made to sit together with Christ. Where's he? He's sitting at the right hand of God the Father. I think that throne looks pretty good on you. Oh, he said he's crowned you with life. He's crowned you with dignity and worth. He's on, Jesus himself has honored us. This ought to get just float your boat here. Yeah. I mean, it ought to bloat your float. It ought to. Greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. You know it? Come on.
Enthusiasm.
Yeah, clap your hands about that. LG. Come on, Lord. You're awesome. We ought to be known for what we are for, not about what we're complaining about.
Amen.
But we're all guilty, aren't we?
Oh, yeah.
Let's just stop it. Well, I can't stop it. Oh, just don't give me that, because you know what? You could be in an argument with your wife, or, you know, and all of a sudden the phone rings. You go, hello?
Yeah.
It's a minor adjustment, isn't it? It's just that your flesh likes to hear yourself whine and complain. Whine and complain. Anybody remember that old TV show, Hee Haw?
Anybody, we're dating ourselves.
Anybody? Yeah. Okay, Hee Haw. They used to sing a song with the words that said, gloom, despair, and agony on me. just stop that. Come on. You're born again. Your inheritance, like I said, is outrageous. Oh, my gosh. We're living forever. I don't care how bad the day is going. Your big thing is like, where's your mind? Mind is on eternal things. If your mind is on heavenly things, guess what? Your heart will start to dance. Yeah. And then remind your face to smile. I'm serious. You know what? You don't want to have people come by. You know, when they're done talking with you, they ought to just think, I just drank a cup of cheer. I'm serious. You don't want people to go, boy, it just felt like I just drank a cup of depression. It's like, close the door. I'm serious. Listen, you know, we got to learn to put on this garment of praise. We have to.
Yes.
I'm giving you homework. Everybody say homework.
Homework.
This is good homework. Not like the kind you dreaded.
Yeah.
Write it down. Ooh. Read Isaiah 61. And then you can live it. And let's be people of joy. Amen? People of joy. That's us. What did we sing? Anybody remember the first song we sang today? Okay, not anybody on the praise team. I got the joy, I got the joy, I got the joy.
Yeah.
I got the joy, I got the joy, I got the joy. All right, that's why I'm not singing it. That's why they turn the music up so loud so you can't hear my voice.
Oh my gosh.
We have a wonderful Savior who has given us true life, a life that goes beyond anything this world can imagine,
yeah.
Above and beyond all that we could ask or think.
Yeah.
This is where you set your mind on. You set your mind on things above. Set your mind on things above.
Yeah.
Set your mind on things above. Depression has to go, because when you set your mind on things above, light comes, and when light comes, darkness is destroyed.
That's right.
Can I hear an amen?
No, you got to make him say, I got the joy.
Yes. Come on.
Come on, say it.
I got the joy. I got the joy. Everybody stand up and do the, I got the joy. I got the joy.
Well, you going to make him do it or not? Maybe not like that.
Hey, but we're moving into a new building. Oh, my
God. Yeah, I got the joy. Yeah.
I got the joy. I got the joy. I got the joy.
All right, back to the wise men. All right.
What are you insinuating? Thank you, Chris.
I'm smiling while I say it. So they traveled 900 or so miles through desert, and they were joyful when they found Jesus. So it says on verse 11, says, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they what did they do? They bowed down and they worshiped.
Amen.
All right, so I want you to see something here. The scripture says they worshiped him, and how did they do it? This is verse 11. I think we have this on PowerPoint. Maybe it's 12. It's a different.
No, it's 11.
They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So they're overjoyed to come and give Jesus a gift.
Amen.
You know, they brought gifts to the one they knew would save them from their sins. So they were overjoyed. They weren't underjoyed. They weren't like, oh, man, we got to give him a gift. You know, give him something really expensive, too. Like gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I mean, but they were overjoyed. It's like we thought about, like, our grandkids when they make us a gift.
Oh, man.
And it's like, oh, I made you a birthday present. I made you a birthday present. I made you a card. And so they can't wait to get over to the house. And they walk in the door. And they're like, joy all over their face. You know, what do I have? And they give it to you. And they're smiling. And they're just so happy. It's like, look at what I gave you. And they're not like, oh, Grammy, I had to give you a gift. And they're happy about it. They were excited. They wanted to give it. And this is, you know, this is the way I picture the wise men coming. And then like being overjoyed, it's like, we brought this child a gift. And they gave something really costly. I mean, gold, frankincense, and myrrh were costly and precious gifts. I mean, the gold represented, I mean, this the scholars will say it represented Jesus' kingly ministry, that he was born to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The frankincense represented his high priestly role that he would take, representing us unworthy, make us worthy before God the Father. And then myrrh was like an incense perfume that they used for purification and embalming, often in burial rites. And so it was also a foreshadowing of Jesus, who was born to die for our sins one day. And so the wise men offered valuable gifts. They didn't offer stuff that was just leftover, second thought. You know, they gave valuable gifts.
Really important. I mean, this is on our outline here. We offer our best and all that we have and all that we do for God. You know, we thought about this message, and, you know, I could just imagine some of you here say, oh, great. We're talking about giving. It's rapture, would you please happen right now? But when you have in mind and a thought like that, you don't have a biblical thought. You're not thinking biblically here. You're not thinking with the mind of Christ, because they worshiped him by giving him their best. They worshiped him. Do you understand that when you give, what? Love gives, doesn't it? Yeah. Love gives. But when we get the idea that when we give, we're actually worshiping God. We're worshiping God when we give. We've got to remember these things, because we get this whole world concept about money and this. And do you know, guess what? Your money's not going with you. You know, I heard that old joke. You know, J. Paul Getty was the richest man in the world at one point. And when he died, they asked him, well, how much do you think that he left? And the guy looked at him and goes, all of it. You cannot take it with you. But because of what God has organized and put into practice here, is that you can use something that's temporal, like money, to have eternal results. Hello. It's true. We worship the Lord when we give. You know, some people, when they hear this, they get resentful. They get resentful. Oh, the churches, all they want is money. All they want is money. We never actually ever had that kind of thought in our mind at all. When we recognized, because we're studiers, we like to look at what the Bible says. When we recognized that the tithe was Old Testament to New Testament, you know, we actually started tithing instantly, and we actually tithed off of our meager bank account because we were so happy we found out about it, because this gets God involved in your finances. And then we kind of felt, oh man, we are so far behind. It's amazing. That's one of the things that we did. We were really thought that we are so far behind. And that was 29 years ago. And praise God, you know, we're more than tithers now, because we've seen the benefit of what God can do in when you offer him your entire self. When you tithe, you know, we read these statistics, church Barna studies and all that. You know, 17% of Christians say they tithe, but it actually comes out to only 3% tithe. Only 3% tithe. And really, it's kind of sad, because you can look at it like they don't understand that giving is worship, or that they just don't want to support the church. God's kingdom. The church is the only agency on this earth that will point somebody to the right way. And you know, you are the church. God has ordained that you be a witness for him. It's important. You know, then there's confusion about what a tithe is. A tithe is, let's say, is 10%. It's tithe, 10%. If you make $3,000 a month, the tithe is $300. Once again, you know, love gives. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. He gave his only begotten. God gave us the best he had. We heard about this guy. This is what he would do. He'd break up with his girlfriend about February 12th. I'm not kidding you. And then he'd patch things up on the 15th. And why? Then we'd ask him why. And he, you know what he said? Because I am cheap.
That's pretty cheap. That's pretty bad.
He just didn't like to give.
Yeah. But love gives. I mean, John 3:16 says this. I mean, even if you're not much of a church person, you probably know this one verse. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave."
Yes.
"He gave his only begotten son." He gave his best. "That whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." You know, for God so loved the world, what did he do? He gave. And why did he give? Because he loved people. He wanted to bless people. I mean, God looked at creation, saw that we were lost in our sin. There was no way back to heaven.
Amen.
No way. You cannot, heaven's a perfect and holy place. And so you have to live a perfect and holy life to get back into heaven. And there's not one of us who could do that. And so Jesus took our place. He took the penalty for our sin, died a brutal death on the cross. But then after 3 days, he rose again from the
Hallelujah.
Grave. When we were justified, our sins we were cleansed of our sins. We were justified before God and welcomed back into heaven. And, you know, so that we don't have to spend eternity in hell. And so that's why that's the reason why he gave, because he loved people. And so when you love, that's what you do. I mean, you can see generosity in people's lives. Like when they love, they want to be generous. They want to give. They want to help. That's a generous heart. And Romans 5:8 says this, "But God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So God didn't just like look at us and go, "I'm going to just yell to you, I love you. Figure it out yourself." You know? I mean, he demonstrated his love.
Yes.
Outwardly, he did something. He died for us when, you know, we didn't deserve to be treated so kindly. And yet, you know, we talk about this whole thing about giving, even at Christmas. It's like, it's Christmas, why are you talking about giving? Because, well, it does show it in Scripture. The wise men did come and they gave gifts to God. And it's helpful for us to remember this isn't a season just about us getting what we want from one another, right? It's like, what am I giving back to God? In reverence, in honor, to say thank you to him for what he's doing and will do and has done in my life. You know, and people say, well, I'm afraid and I'm just hesitant. I'm reluctant to give. But let's take a look at this Proverbs 3 scripture here.
It's a great scripture. And actually, it's really well known throughout the whole world. It's, you know, how many people have heard, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Yeah, I think we've all heard that before. But there is a portion of this scripture that relates to giving. And people don't understand that it falls in the context of that very thing. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. And don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't always try to figure it out. Don't always think that your mind can figure God out, because you can't.
Yeah.
His ways are higher than our ways, and when we yield our hearts to his ways, you know, we get blessed.
Yeah.
You know, we get blessed. We worship God with our singing. Right? What we did here earlier, we worshiped God with our singing. But isn't there an amazing thing here that when we worship God all at once, we can sense his presence and we get blessed in the same way?
Yeah.
So when we worship God, just out of his own heart and the character of God, we get blessed.
Yeah.
And so it says here, don't lean into your own understanding. You know, his ways are higher than our ways. Come on. He says, don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. And it says, this will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Yeah. Again, it talks about that box that Mamie was talking about. Salvation isn't just a ticket to heaven. Salvation has healing involved. Salvation has wisdom involved. Yeah. Amen?
Yeah. Well, goes on to say in verse 9, honor the Lord with your wealth. And, you know, in the context that this is written, honor means to worship him, mm-hmm. to adore him. So it's like worship God. And, you know, and often, I don't know, when we do in the time in the service, when it's time to give our offerings and tithes to God, it is a time of worship.
Yes.
It's like, God, you gave me everything I have. I'm giving back to you in worship and thanksgiving. And so it says, well, honor the Lord with your wealth. And again, like the wise men, you know, were overjoyed to give, open up their treasures and worship him. It says, with the first fruits of all your crops. And that's, again, indicating the tithe is the first fruit. Then your barns, verse 10, will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine.
Mm.
So, in other words, your needs will be met, and you'll have overflow to be generous, is what God is saying in that verse. Your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. I mean, wouldn't it be nice to have overflow in your finances? I mean, most people live pretty tightly, paycheck to paycheck, and like I said, even in credit card debt, just to make ends meet. And so we're just getting more and more into debt when you're using that credit card that way. And so overflow, to be generous, isn't really on the radar for a lot of people. I mean, and finances can get to a place where they feel like they just strangle you. It's like, oh, I hate to see a bill come in the mail because I don't even want to look at it. I want to deal with it. Well, God does have answers for us. And I do think talking about money during the Christmas season is important, because most people, like that stat we looked at, will overspend. Most don't even have a budget for it. They'll just overspend and deal with it later. And then, like we said, they're still paying off a credit card debt next year.
A year later.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, God says when you honor him with your first fruits, that he will do this. Your barns will be filled to overflowing. Your vats brim over with new wine. That means that your needs will be met. Even though it seems like, how can this be if I give and I'm losing, because my mind says if I give, I won't have enough. But God, the scripture verses before that says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. God does math differently. You know, when we put him first in our finances, trust in the Lord and don't lean to your own understanding and honor him. He says he'll open up the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive. And I remember when we, 29 years ago, when we first saw that scripture, we read it in the Bible and we heard some teaching on giving and thought, wow, I've never heard that ever said before in church. And we went to denominational churches all of our lives, basically. But look at what it says here in Malachi 3:10. It says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And God's talking about food like in his house, like his house of worship, the local church. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. This is like one place in the Bible God says, you test me, go ahead. Put me to the test and see if my word is good. And see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it.
Mm.
Now that's overflow. That makes us smile and go, yeah.
And we've got to understand that this is worship. It's worship. When you connect with that, it's worship.
And we have a. You want to introduce
Mr. Doyle? If we had
a testimony.
Let's give it up for Tyler.
We have a testimony. We asked Tyler to just share a few words just about some things in his own life about learning to give and how it's become a blessing. And so, go ahead.
Community Life Church has been our home, my wife Amanda and I, for over 4 years now. We began attending in early 2013.
Does he need the light?
We gave our lives to Christ in this very room.
Yeah. See, he sat in a chair. He sat in a chair.
Well, when it came to tithing, I was very afraid. We were just barely making ends meet, and I couldn't understand how God wanted us to give what we didn't have. Over time, God taught us how to obey in this area and proved to us we had nothing to fear. Just over a year ago, Amanda and I were led to increase our giving beyond our tithe. This step would put us outside the comfort zone that we had established, but we went ahead and stepped out in faith. There were times after this that we lived from paycheck to paycheck, sometimes having more money in our change jar than our bank account. During all of this, God never failed to provide for us and take care of our needs abundantly. God provided us with a new car, which was paid for, family vacation.
But can you hear him? Can you? Did you hear that? Did you just hear that? Did you say that again? You paid. God provided.
God provided us with a new car and a vacation, and most recently paid off over $10,000 in debt.
That's awesome.
During this time, we've also been able to increase the level of giving beyond what he asked us, because he taught us to be better stewards and channels of resources. Mm-hmm. And even beyond our financial blessings. By giving more, we have more. I encourage everyone here to step out in faith and test God in this, because he called us to a now.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Tyler.
Let's bow our heads. The greatest gift that you could give to God is yourself. Jesus is the gift, the love gift that God the Father gave to us. And that gift can change your life, can change your circumstances. But the greatest thing that God wants to do is change your eternal destination, and that from hell to heaven. And the greatest miracle is that you could be changed from a child of the devil to a child of God, all because of you simply believing what Jesus did for you on the cross. He came to this earth. He hung on that cross. He shed his blood for you for the forgiveness of your sins. He went to the grave and died. 3 days later, he rose again from the dead. And that proved that your sins were forgiven. And he made a way for you to be born again and adopted into the family of God. If you have not been born again, according to the Bible, and you're ready to give your life over to Jesus, I'm asking you to simply raise your hand high enough so I can see it. Everybody here will say a prayer and you'll be born again. You will be born again. You don't go to heaven by coming to church. Church is a good place to find God, but you have to exercise your faith in the grace that has been given. Anyone here at all? Okay. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would just increase the understanding in every single one of our lives. We want to know you more. We want to be sensitive to your presence. We want to experience you in a greater way than what we've ever experienced you before. We want you to be welcomed in our home. I ask you, Father, when your people read your word, that you speak softly to their hearts. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Mr. Brewer?